thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't want to get left behind. I want to go with him when he comes. Neighbor, I don't want you to get left behind. I want you to go with him until he comes, when he comes, however he comes. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. While you're standing, do me a favor. As you may have noticed on the monitors, we are celebrating birthdays. We have, amen, amen, amen. We got two old coons that been around a while, and they just deserve to be recognized for their coonmanship. But we are very thankful to God for Brother Thomas and Minister Dr. Dickerson celebrating their birthday. Amen. Happy birthday. Come on, everybody. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Allison. Happy birthday, Wanda. Amen. All right. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. When your birthday comes, let us know, and we'll say happy birthday to you too. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Congratulations to both of y'all. Share the same day. Y'all didn't know that? Y'all, oh, you knew it all the time? Said it wasn't going to tell nobody. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you today. We are very thankful to God to be a part of celebration. Amen. Grab your Bibles. We're going to run right along in the book of James, in the New Testament of the Bible, the book of James. Just toward the end, if you start at Revelation and go backwards, you'll get there real quick. Or if you got an electronic device, just hit that little Bible app and then pick book James and then pick verse 14. And we're going to move right along. Amen. God bless you. Thank you to our ushers. Let's love our ushers. Very quickly, put your devices down. Put your hands together and bless the ushers. Mrs. McKenzie, Brother James, and Mrs. Brody. Amen. God bless. God bless. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. And we're just excited about God. Amen. Amen. The book of James. Have you found it? Amen. Put your finger on verse 14 yet? Amen. I didn't say what chapter. Then so be it. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. James chapter 2. Amen. Amen. James chapter 2, put your finger on verse 14. And you know Pastor has a New Living Translation. So you got to be with that, or you got the other version. That's all right. We're going to be fine. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? You may be seated. Amen. What's the use of saying that you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. What you say ain't what I see. Amen. What you say ain't what I see. Notice what James says, and he says it without reservation, and it's true. What good is it going to do us, any of us, to say we have faith if we cannot prove it or validate it by our actions? And I don't mean to put you on the spot today, but I needed you to help me in our title today, because remember, we're still cultivating the character of this church. And it may seem silly, it may seem a bit retarded, a bit late, because we're an old church. We've been around a while, haven't we? Amen. We didn't just start this ministry. We've been around. Greater Brookville Church evolved out of the Brookville Baptist Church, And we've had pastors and we've had ministers and deacons and leaders. Some have come and some have gone. But we're at the point now where we have to face certain realities about this church. Come on, talk to me, this church. And so part of our cultivating of character really means we have to look at the character. And one of the things we have to do as a people of God when we look at character is to always be honest enough to admit what's missing. And so we say today, look at your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, what you say ain't what I see. Amen. And that's what we want to talk about for a few minutes. I'm not going to trouble you long. Last week, I practiced letting y'all out of church early. I think I'm going to kind of try to get used to it. So today, I want to talk for about 15 minutes, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to get out of the way. And I know y'all going to like that. That means y'all be gone in a little while. But I need you to understand today, we're not going to evolve. We're not going to grow. We're not going to expand. And we're probably not going to survive if what we say ain't what we can see. You're not going to be able to prove faith by just talking about it. James says we need some action. We need to make it happen. We need to be popping, like young folks say. We need to be about the business. And so genuine faith for us, as we understand biblical principle, is simply this. Amen. Genuine faith for us is faithfulness to God. Amen. And faithfulness to God, watch this now, is actions for God. Hey, in other words, we're going to make our calling and election sure. Because God has given us gifts and abilities, then we're going to do kingdom kind of stuff. We're not going to be in the business of trying to be a secular ministry. We're not going to try and just do earth stuff. We want to do kingdom stuff. And part of the conversation that James has with this church in particular, he starts it off earlier with them. He says, listen, if you want to talk about faith, you're going to have to show me something. Amen. You're going to have to show me what your faith really does. How does your faith motivate you? Amen. I'm talking to you. How does your faith motivate you? What does it make you want to do? Jess, my first song offering of the day is an old song. It simply says, what makes you feel like doing stuff like that? What motivates you? You know, we talked about it in Christian Academy a little bit this morning. We can't just keep coming in here and sitting down saying, I go to church. Well, my question then is, what do you do after you leave church? And then what brings you back to church? What makes you excited about being a Christian and moreover a Christian servant soldier and subject of God? And so all of us need to understand that genuine faith, say genuine faith. Genuine faith has an implication to it, Elizabeth. It implies that we trust God. Now, my question then must be, how many of you trust God? Can I tell you that only a few of y'all hands came up? So we might have a faith issue, shouldn't we now? Here's the thing. He's saying that the church of God exists by faith. How do we know that? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then might the question be that few of us are only interested in pleasing God? Then might the question be, why aren't the rest of us interested in pleasing God? Because if all of us are willing to receive from God, shouldn't all of us want to serve God? Amen. I mean, the Bible says, how can you take from God and not want to give something back to God? You don't want to wind up being Cain. You don't want to wind up being on the wrong side of the blessedness of God. Because again, to whom much is given, much will always be required. But it does not mean that God can just give us stuff and there is no connective response to that. Everything God gives us ought to make us want to do more for God. Amen? Okay, maybe you're not thinking amen. But faith then, genuine faith, ought to lead to faithfulness. Amen? And so we ought to be able to see that. So again, if what you say ain't what we see, we have a problem. Amen. Look at your name and say, that's a divine disconnect. Yeah, because I'm looking at lives and I'm seeing God blessing people. I'm seeing people driving okay and living okay. Nobody looks hungry. Nobody looks, thank God, nobody's naked. Nobody's without. And so if in fact the truth be told, God is being faithful to us, then how do we know the faithfulness of a people back to God if we don't see something happening? Amen. There ought to be some evidence of God's faithfulness to us in how we serve God. And so what he says is, neighbor, you can't keep talking that talk and we can't see nothing in your walk. You can't keep singing the same old song and not being able to produce some fruitfulness out of your own life. You can't keep looking at the fruitfulness and the progressiveness of others and you just sitting on the do-nothing side. All of us have to become laborers, co-laborers. All of us have to be aggressive and active and aligned with what the kingdom is requiring. The kingdom of God is moving, and so we need to move too. Amen? And so he helps us to understand. Now, James also suggests, we're about not finished. How about that? James suggests that if you're just talking, then you're just bluffing. Yeah. You're just bluffing. And here's a commercial break. You got to realize that sooner or later, God's going to call your bluff. Yeah. Sooner or later, God's going to call your bluff, because if you're not living up to your own testimonies, you're bluffing. Now, I'm trying to be nice, Sister Hayes. I really am. I'm trying to be nice and call it a bluff. But what I really want to say is some of y'all just lying. You're just lying on the Holy Ghost, because God is no respecter of person. God has blessed all of us. And thank you. Should have been more hands than that. But God has blessed all of us. And because God has blessed all of us ought to be demonstrators of our faithfulness unto God. And our works ought to be off the chain. Amen. We can't keep procrastinating ministry. We can't keep putting stuff off. There is no lottery for us. I mean, the state has a lottery and other states have a lottery, but the kingdom of God don't have no lottery. The Bible says simply this: he's a rewarder of the faithful. Nudge one neighbor and tell him he almost finished. I have to talk to you quickly. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, if you want your reward, you got to be faithful. And if you're faithful, not that other neighbor, and tell him, if you're faithful, you're going to get your reward. That's how we bless Greater Brookfield. That's how we come up as a people. That's how we get the job done. That's how we change lives. That's how we fill up these pews. That's how we become a church that can operate in the anointing, because we are found as the faithful. We don't have to fry fish, bake cakes. We don't have to wash cars. We don't have to run a raffle. We don't have to steal. We don't have to beat up nobody. What we have to do is challenge each other in our faith. And when all of us respond to the challenge of our faith, God will reward us tremendously. There is no church any greater than we are. They may be more faithful than we are. Because all churches are God's churches. All of his houses are his houses. But what God has discovered in other ministries may be that they are greater in faithfulness than Greater Brookfield is in faithfulness. And so we can't talk about faith. We must demonstrate our faith. Okay, y'all got quiet. Amen. And so what he says to us is, if we're going to bluff, there are three things that we're bluffing. One, we're bluffing in might. And we're bluffing in our movements. And we're bluffing in our manifestations. We're pretending to be powerful and pretending to be capable, but we're not proving that. Okay, let's turn around and make it a little easier. Might is simply ability. Now, my question is, you know, and I'm going on, Sandra. My question is, what can't you do? I mean, you talk to me. What can't you do? You all have done things in your lives that are tremendously powerful. You all have exhibited abilities. You all have gotten jobs. You've gone to school. You've raised families. You've paid bills. You've recovered from sicknesses. You've had an impact on lives. And if you can do all that, what can't you do? Some of you are in your own right. You're entrepreneurs. You're business people. You're intellectuals. You're psychologists. If you've ever sit down with your children and talk them through some things, you're a good psychologist. If you reason with people, you're a good negotiator. You're an analyst. If you've ever looked at something and went, you're analytical. Well, y'all ain't giving yourself no praise. I mean, you have that ability. Why not use that in the kingdom of God? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God doesn't want you to be lily-livered and weak and cowardice. That's not a good character trait. Not your neighbor said, that's not the character we want in our church. We don't want whiners and criers. We don't want people, you know, just boo-hooing everything. We don't want people coming to a meeting just to start no trouble. We don't want people coming in here to go, no, I object. We want people who are mighty men and women of valor. We want champions. We want to sing the Queen song. We are the champions, my friend. No goodbye to loser cry. And you have that ability. If you have held down a job for more than 2 weeks to get your first check and get them weeks out the hole, you have the ability. Y'all not celebrating yourself. You can do it. And then the second thing, movement. Movement is simply action. Action keeps us alive. It keeps us vibrant. It keeps us on our toes. And our church ain't moving. We have talked about things too many times and we're just not moving. There's no action. There's a lot of rumbling. There's a lot of rustling. There's a ruffling of things, but there's no action. We're not finishing, probably because we're not starting. And if we start, we're obligated to God to finish. Bible said that the Lord will equip us to the day of completion that is in Christ Jesus. But our actions, and that's what James says. James says, don't tell me you got faith and there's no movement. There's no action. How many of you watch television? Amen. Why? Because there's movement. How many of you have satellite TV? And when it rains, you lose your picture. Doesn't that frustrate you? And you know, you can see it coming because the pixels start coming in first. People start, you know, and you go, oh, Lord, we finna lose the TV. Come on, anybody? The wind start blowing. Up there where I live at, if the wind blow hard enough, you go, here we go. And isn't that frustrating? Because you lose your place, and especially if it's a good scene, and you know it's going to be out at least 10 minutes. When it come back on, now you're disinterested. Because you missed a big part. And that's what people are leaving our church. Because we keep freezing. We keep not moving, and then by the time we get going again, they're not interested. They leave. That's why they go to ministries that are constantly moving. They go to fluid conditions, fluid place. Now, I'm not saying that the preachers are better. That's just not happening. No, sir. No. It's y'all fault. They ain't leaving because of preaching. No, ain't nobody better. Ain't none no better. But my point is movement, action. No. Jesus comes to move us. Look at Jesus. Everything about Jesus is go. Go. He said, go here. Go there. And come back and tell me what you saw. And go back over there again. And then go down there. And I'm sending you places because you can do stuff. You represent the kingdom because the kingdom is represented in you. And you got to move. I know you think you're old and you done had a lot of birthdays like Minister Dixon and Addison and things hurt when you get out of the bed and things have changed colors that Grecian can't keep up with and Brill cream and that kind of thing. But that's why we got Darren. That's why we got James. And that's why we got the twins. And because if we don't pass this torch, you know, when we look at Caleb and Jordan and look at little Larry, we're looking at the church. But if we don't show them how the church moves, they're going to say, man, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, people condemn the millennials and talk about the millennials, but I love the millennials because the millennials lack action. That's why your computer's faster now. Because those millennials sit out there at Microsoft and they say, make it faster, make it faster, make it faster. Why? Because you can do more if you go faster. And GBC, you're not supposed to be slow. We're not the tortoise. We may not be the hare either, but we're somewhere in between. We can be generic enough to create our own image. And then we can't keep bluffing in our manifestations. Why? Because God is a productive God. Here's what he says. He says, you will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. You're creators, people. Yes, you are. You're no less than anybody else. Don't let anybody fool you because they go to a church with a different name. The only thing different between them and us is they're making it happen. They're borrowing money from the same bank we put our money in. Their bricks and their mortar come from the same yard ours will come from. The people who come into their church don't just show up. They're invited. And not once, but over and over again. And then manifestations come because they had a vision and a goal and said, listen, by this year, we want to have this many new disciples. And they did whatever it took to get to that number. And if they came short of that number, they revamped the plan. They didn't disregard or rescind the plan. They didn't say, well, we ain't going to try that no more. They said, you know what? We came a little short, but here's what we'll do this time. And in order to attract people, watch this, Maxine, you got to be attractive. Our manifestations are our business. Which simply means, in another word, it's accomplishments. When we look at ourselves at the end of the year, we ought to be able to look at our accomplishments. We ought to look and say, listen, we did it. And then say, because we did that, now let's do this. My problem is, I look back, and I'm afraid that we're kind of thin in accomplishments. I said some weeks ago, that we have almost relegated ourselves to just being in survival mode. I don't want to live like that. You want to live like that? I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in survival mode. I want to thrive. I really want us to have a next generation philosophy about ministry. I want our next church and our next people and our next preachers and our next deacons to be like those millennials, very aggressive and not settle. We settle too much. And settling for us has made us stagnant. We keep singing the same songs because we're not aggressive. We're not challenging ourselves to find new singers. If we have reached the limits of the core of singers, we need new singers. If we've reached the limit and the core of our leadership in deacons and pastors and ministers and such, then we need to say, let's find somebody who will challenge us again. We'll do our retirement. We're going to have to get out of the way sometime. But let's not vacate the vision. Let's not vacate it. Let's not just say, well, we're too old now. It's too late. I remember Hilda Robinson, God bless her, years ago when we were talking about vision, Miss Hilda looked at me and said, Pastor, I sure wish I could be here to see it, but I know y'all gonna do it. And I'm afraid that we'd have to be honest, and Miss Hilda's gone now, but we didn't do much. We didn't do much. Miss Hilda died, and we never brought our accomplishments to make us smile. How many more of us are gonna die in this stagnant place? How many more of us are gonna die and we haven't even begun to move toward promise and vision? We can do more than we do. We don't have to change churches. We don't have to get a new pastor. And I am telling you, I'm not going nowhere. I mean, you can do it with this pastor if you want. I mean, but the fact of the matter is we have to look at our accomplishments and be honest in the lack of accomplishments. Deacon Walker said something to me about a year or two ago and said, Pastor, you know, this is crazy. You know, Larry's a realist. He said, this don't make no sense. He said, you know, we just keep talking about stuff and we don't do nothing. And I think he wanted to cuss. He was close. But he was. He said, Pastor, how many more times are we going to stand up and say the same thing? And he was right. I tried to smooth it over. I tried to make excuses for the people. He said, Pastor, maybe we don't need them. Maybe we need to find some new people then. I mean, we want to get rid of all of y'all. We want y'all, but we need some more blood. We really have to look at what we're not doing and say, why not? John Kennedy, when he was president, that was his theme. Everybody remembers him. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And maybe we ought to look at GBC like that. Ask not what GBC can do for you, but what can you do for GBC? And then ask yourself, why won't I do it? Why would you leave this church and go to another named church and do nothingness? Because I've discovered a lot of my disciples that left, they didn't go to do nothing greater. I check on them. I'm spied. I talked to pastors and said, listen, you got some of my folk over there by name. And some of the pastors said, I don't know them. They must just be there. I said, they are. I said, look at your tithe report. He said, that's what I'm telling you. I don't know them. You don't have to leave. You just have to be led. I'm about finished. Here's my last little point. Please understand that what God is saying to us is to all of us. It's not Larry's responsibility. He's young, and we can wear him out. It's better to wear out than rust out, they say. But those of us who've been here a while, haven't we invested a little too much just to walk away? I mean, haven't we held on long enough and said ourselves, this is not how we wanted our church to be in 2017. We didn't think, by 2017, we thought we'd be, large and in charge. We thought we'd be stepping up into the boulevard. This is not my dream. Who stole my dream? Who moved my cheese? My realities are not too big. Yours aren't either. When we look at Young Life, what is Young Life if we don't move? What are we going to do with our seniors, our young adult ministry, our senior adult ministry? When we look at ourselves, who do we see? I would encourage you to know that you got to stop bluffing. Stop talking all that crazy. Yeah, one of these days. How about this day? This is all we have. It's about 20 minutes after 12. I'm done. Really. But there are two things I really want you to think about. I'm about hollered out. I had a weak revival. I don't have much left. But I need you to think about two things. One, what do you desire? What do you really want? Again, ask not what GBC can do for you. What do you want? And then the second thing that I need you to think about is, what will you do with what you desire? God says, I will give you the ability to make things happen. If you want your church to be greater, what's your investment in greatness? What ministries are you going to say, you know what? This is where I want to perform. This is where I want to purpose myself. This is my position. Remember those cultivating things we talked about. This is where my praise will come from. This is where my may the works I've done speak for me come from. When I leave here, they're going to talk about me. They're going to say, boy, that guy, that gal made it happen. James says, you don't deserve to keep talking. You ain't going to do nothing. Nobody want to hear from you bluffing. He said, listen, if you're going to talk like that, there's got to be some actions. And it's not up to the person sitting next to you or behind you or around you to prove your actions. It's up to you. You're responsible for the gift. God is no respecter of person. Everybody in this room is gifted. Everybody. I think as I looked around today, I looked at those little the children, and I thought to myself, I was like that one time. And old folks spoke into me. They looked at me and said, boy, you're going to be something someday. They had no greater responsibility toward that. Then the fact that they did speak it into me, now it's on me to do something with that vision, to do something with that promise. Promise into your children. Prophesy to your children. Don't call them stupid. Don't tell them they're lazy and can't do nothing. Well, every now and then remind them that they're lazy. Yeah, they probably didn't do that. You know, every now and then you catch them loafing off, you know. But look at our ministry. Look at our children. We got babies. We got enough babies here to secure a future. These young ladies are going to get married someday. A young Christian's going to find him a bride and bring her home and say, Mama, I found that girl. And you ask her, baby, are you saved? And what do you believe? And then we begin to, again, watch ourselves grow. We can't keep asking the Walkers to have babies. We can't keep asking the Andersons to bring us babies. You know, we can't ask Elizabeth to bring us babies. You know, we gotta now go find some people that's already here. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you something that I really believe to be true. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. And our word must be our bond. God has given us Christ, who has died and ascended and gave gifts to men. You are a gifted people. And it's time for you to start living up to that. I trust God for you. I trust God for you. I pray for you. And I really believe that if you would just stop bluffing, you don't have to fake it. Genuine faith means you trust God. And we don't need to do another survey. We don't need to pass out another survey. We don't need to sit in a room and bewail ourselves with our inadequacy. We should be able to go and buy anything we want to buy because you're a tithing people. And we shouldn't, you know, we're too old to be talking about tithing. This ain't no new ministry. We've been around too long to still have issues about whether or not we believe in tithing. And 10% of our congregation cannot carry this church. Everybody in this room, if you've got a job or any form of income, the tithe belongs to God. Don't tell me you're on a fixed income. I'm on a fixed income. They pay me the same thing every week. Erin writes my checks. They don't vary. She's very good at that. She make, in fact, whatever I'm entitled to, she makes sure her pastor gets it. But it's fixed. It doesn't. You can ask her. She'll tell you. I've never been cheated by the church. All of us bear responsibility for this. If this church dies on our watch, we're going to give an account for that. God's going to look at every one of us and say, you were in Greater Brookville in 2017 when y'all didn't buy those vans, when y'all didn't take care of your seniors, when you all let the lights go out and you all didn't take care of that building. We know it's, we need to move. We really do. We should have been gone, I guess. I really believe that. I was just talking to Melvin here. Now the New Free Springs, they're building a family life center, a multicultural center. They ain't no bigger than we are. They're, in fact, they're older. Their congregation is much more geriatric than ours. But they say we'll do it. They caught a vision. And we've talked too much about building and doing and going. And so we've just talked ourselves right into an exposure that we're just liars. We're bluffing. And I encourage you, I'm done. Ain't that wonderful? How about that? I encourage you to let your word be your bond. You should really leave here today and ask God to hold you accountable to your gift. God, don't let me live beneath my privilege another day. I'm too smart for this. I'm too much of an analyst. I'm too gifted. When he died, he got up with all power. And Paul says, inasmuch as we die with him, we'll get up with him. We have power. And here's what's really wonderful. Together, we're more powerful. Have a vision for your church. Ask not what the pastor doing. Ask what you ought to be doing with the pastor. What y'all doing? How about what are we doing? Y'all bear some responsibility for that. I just want to encourage you today. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, I'm looking forward to seeing what you say. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to leave. How about that? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Midge. Amen. Listen to me well. This message, this moment was very intentional. I don't want nobody to think you got beat up. So did nobody feel beat up, did they? No. You should have felt like, wow, man, wait a minute, maybe he's right. But I don't need you to do yourself a disservice either and walk out of here without making some commitment to what I preach. Very simple message. No, nobody criticized you. I didn't pick on you. I just tried to tell you. And I know I told you the truth because the book was open. Well, none of that, you know, I didn't get nobody business today. I didn't say nothing negative, did I? Six simple things I gave you. One was might, movement, and manifestation, and then ability. Action, there you go. And then accomplishments. You can do those. No deep stuff. It's all right there in the text. One verse, and all of that's in that verse. James says, how can you say that you have faith and you can't prove it? If someone were to ask you today about your church and your relationship and your responsibilities in your church and your responsiveness, what would you say about yourself? If you told somebody you were a trustee or a deacon or a minister, and they said, well, what do you do at your church? That's where they're going to look at your might, your movements, your manifestation. If you can say, listen, in the last 5 years, we've done thus. But all you're going to say, well, we've been talking about building. Well, we've been talking about buying some vans. We've been talking about doing. And they said, well, what are y'all waiting on? Because, you know, other churches have done that. Other churches have built and bought and expanded, and they're leaving us. I got frustrated, Deacon Walker, a few weeks ago when other ministries are coming into our community, picking folk up out of our neighborhoods, out of our vineyard. This is our territory. It's Poe Frog that won't praise and protect his own pond. And not that everybody that belongs great. We got people in Evington. The Brodies come from way over yonder, and James and his mother. Darlene come from down that way. So we're out there, and that doesn't mean we're just going to recruit on Winston Reed and Florida Avenue, but we also, in the places that we go, we ought to bring folk back. And we can go into other areas. We can go anywhere and bring folk in, but if people ask you, what do you do as a minister, a deacon, a trustee, a laborer, and you, all you can say is, well, we've been talking about. I've been talking about being 6'8" all my life. 6'5 is good, but I thought 6'8 would have been better, but I ain't going to never get there. So what good is that going to be to talk about that the rest of my life? How about doing something at 6'5"? I've been talking about being a better father and a better husband, a better son. But if I don't do something, amen. My daughter gave me a card one Father's Day. Don't leave, baby. I'm talking about you. Stay for a minute. No, go ahead. But she gave me a card, and I kept it, and it says, the kind of father you have been to me, I want my children to have someday because you're the best. You taught me what a father is. Man, that thing swole up in me. I still got that card. It's in my on my desk at home. And I look at it. I mean, she hand wrote it. She said, the kind of father. And I sometimes have been critical of my own being the father to her. But that changed everything, Larry. When she said that she wants a father for her children, like me. I said, well, Leroy, you pretty hot stuff, boy. But what are they going to say about our Christianity? What are they going to say about our service to God? What will the next generation look at us and say, the kind of deacon you've been in this church, I want to be someday. The kind of trustee, the kind of ministries that you all accomplish, I want to see accomplished even greater. This church did not start out like this. There's a picture in the hallway. If you want, it was an old wooden frame. Ministries happened here. Those people didn't just keep talking about building a church. They built one and then built another little piece and another little piece. And it's not fair for us to sit here and just ride it out when there's so much more. Don't just say it. Do it. God, our Father, we thank you today for the time we've shared together. And we thank you, God, that this people have listened. They've sat in their tent doors and heard what you are saying to the church. And God, I pray now that they will gird up their loins. They will sharpen their swords and polish up their breastplate, shod their feet again, become warriors and rebels and do great things to your glory. And if there's one here today that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, because this is not about joining the church anymore. This is not about coming to church. This is about salvation, because saved folk do saved things. And so if there's somebody in this room today that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that they will today make the choice. There's an old song we used to sing in the church that simply said, I started out a long time ago, and there's no doubt in my mind, I decided to make Jesus my choice. Lord, let them choose you today, not choose Mitchell, not choose Brookville, but choose Christ. And in choosing Christ, you'll give them a pastor. You'll give them a home. And all shall be well. And Lord, we shall wait for your return. But we'll be busy when you come. Please hear our prayers. Prayers for healing today. It's good to see Jesse again and Mrs. Penn, Sister Hayes, and to see Sister McCoy and to know that Tim's getting a little better, to know that our dear daughter's father and brother are getting better, to know that Shanisha's getting better, and to know that, God, you're doing things. So we continue to pray for the sick among us. Pray for healing. Pray for those treatments. Pray, God, for the medication. Pray, God, for peace. Pray, God, for each other. Lord, we need to have salvation as the main course. So send one today. Send one. Maybe there's one today on the edge, hadn't given their life to Christ. I mean, come to church, but hadn't given their life to Christ. Send one today. Don't let us leave without protection of the anointing, covering. Lord, you said you'd be a fence all around us. You would hide us in a secret place. Underneath your feathers, you would cover us. And the enemy couldn't get to. The devil is a liar, father of lies, accuser of the brethren. Protect us from his foolishness. And don't let us die without Christ. Don't let us walk out of here today with a maybe. But Lord, send us with an absolute. I know in whom I have believed, and I know I'm saved. Let it be so today, Lord. And then, Lord, again, charge us again to do this work. And we don't have to do it alone. We have a great cloud of witness. We are in a good company. Lord, I really believe that on this fourth Sunday in June, we're going to turn a corner. We're going to look up that mountain and say, mountain, be thou removed. We're going to look down in the valley and say, I ain't scared no more. We're going to be able to build bridges. We're going to be able to do great things to your glory. We shall not be moved. God be for us. Heal us and touch us and revive us, restore us. Make us glad again in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, as we turn from this place, but never your presence, oh God, let us always remember that there is a bright side somewhere, and we will not rest until we find it. Protect your people. Get us to where we want to be safely. And then, Lord, bring us back again and again and again and again and again. And again, Lord, we are turning a corner, I believe, today. I feel great things. I feel greatness. I feel accomplishment. I feel a sense of urgency. This is the day that the Lord has made. God bless you. Hug somebody. Love them. I'm done. Be seeing you. Praise the Lord.